Right now, like, it takes less than 60 seconds for a free open source AI model to generate a flawless, mathematically perfect fake
He's
payslip.
spending a minute, yeah.
Yeah, under a minute. And yet, billion-dollar financial institutions are, still handing out 30-year mortgages based on these easily fabricated PDFs.
Yeah, it's wild when you say it out
It
loud.
really is. So welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to dissect this massive structural shift that is happening right now, as of today, June 1st, 2026, across the Australian mortgage industry.
It's a huge pivot.
Huge. And we're pulling all our insights for this from a really comprehensive new analysis in the Broker Times. It's by Jennifer Austin, and it's called Open Banking and ATO Data, the file standard quietly replacing payslip verification.
Right, and it's a great piece because the premise of Austin's research is just so stark.
So basically, the PDF is dead.
Exactly. The traditional way you've proven income, that whole ritual of uploading a PDF of a tax return, a human assessor reviewing it, it's functionally obsolete.
I mean, I like to think of it like relying on a wax seal on a letter in the 21st century.
That is a perfect way to look at it, actually.
Right, because it looks official, it carries all this historical weight, but a bad actor can just replicate it effortlessly now.
Yeah, that wax seal analogy really captures the absurdity of the current system. Because when you look at the underlying mechanics of AI forgery, it becomes obvious why this old model is just collapsing.
Because they're not just like copying and pasting text onto a template anymore,
No,
right?
not at all. These open source tools dynamically calculate exact year-to-date tax brackets.
Wow.
Yeah, they automatically factor in the correct Medicare levy. They hallucinate completely valid-looking ABNs for shell employers, and they generate perfectly balanced super contributions.
So a human processor staring at a screen just physically cannot spot the
I
difference?
can't. They physically cannot tell the legitimate document from the hallucination. And that inability to differentiate, that's the core of the crisis here.
Because the whole system assumes that faking documents is hard.
Exactly. A system built on human verification of digital documents assumes a baseline level of friction for fraudsters. Like, you used to need Photoshop skills, an understanding of payroll software, and time.
And now the barrier to entry is just zero.
Zero. And this isn't theoretical, The source material highlights the Commonwealth Bank's current $1 billion AI fraud probe.
$1 billion.
Yeah, and that probe is rapidly widening to encompass other major tier one lenders. I mean, a billion-dollar probe isn't a glitch, it is a structural failure of the entire verification chain.
It's incredible. And if I can just, use a free online tool to generate a flawless fake payslip while I'm waiting in line for coffee, why on earth are billion-dollar financial institutions still basing 30-year loans on these
Oh,
PDFs?
they're realizing they can't. The fallout is already rippling through the industry channels. Like, the Finance Brokers Association of Australia, the FBAA, is actively pushing to dismantle exploitable introducer programs.
Because fraud networks are weaponizing them.
Right, at scale.
Ah.
Because the intake funnels for those programs rely on the very PDF standards that are now totally compromised.
So if a human assessor at the bank can't trust the pixels on their screen, the document itself has basically lost all utility as a vehicle for truth.
Exactly. The entire verification stack has to bypass the document altogether. And this brings us to the antidote, right? The architecture of the consented data era.
Which is what Austin's article really digs into.
Yeah. The solution isn't building a better AI to catch fake PDFs. The solution is removing the PDF from the workflow entirely.
So how do they do that?
Well, the new standard relies on two core pillars that have actually been quietly maturing in the background for a while.
Right, it's not brand new tech.
No, it's the Consumer Data Right, or CDR, which has been live for banking since 2020, and ATO data sharing, which went live in 2024.
So those pipelines have just been laying dormant for this specific use case.
Pretty much, yeah. And in practice, this means we're shifting from a submission model to a direct read model.
Okay, so instead of a borrower downloading a statement and sending it to a broker, they grant explicit read-only consent.
Exactly. And the data covering their income deposits, daily living expenses, and existing liabilities flows directly from their bank server to the lender system via an encrypted API.
And the ATO data does the same thing.
Yeah, the notice of assessment, single touch payroll, PAG summaries, all of it flows straight from the ATO.
The mechanism here is what the source calls a cryptographically verifiable data.
Right, because when the data moves through these API pipes, it is packaged as an encrypted JSON payload. and it carries an immutable digital signature from the originating institution.
Okay, so the lender isn't looking at a visual representation of a salary deposit.
No, not at all. Their system is authenticating the mathematical proof that the transaction occurred on the bank's ledger.
Wow. Because you can't use an open source AI to fake an encrypted token handshake between the ATO servers and Macquarie Bank?
Exactly. You just can't.
It fundamentally changes the whole concept of verification. It reminds me of, like, a bouncer at a nightclub.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Well, under the old model, you hand the bouncer a printed piece of paper that says you are 21, and the bouncer has to check the laminate, hold it up to the light to find a hologram, scrutinize the font. They are authenticating the physical object.
Right, which is just like staring at a PDF.
Exactly. But in the new API model, it's as if the bouncer simply taps into the DMV database and sees your birth record directly on their screen. They aren't verifying a document anymore. They are verifying the actual truth at the source.
That is spot on. By establishing that direct line to the truth, the fraud surface area collapses almost entirely.
Because there's no physical or digital object to forge.
Right. And when you remove the human element of scrutinizing laminate and holograms or, you know, PDFs, you alter the speed limit of the entire banking infrastructure.
Which brings us to the operational impact. Because when this new technology makes contact with reality, the most immediate thing you see is the collapse of turnaround times.
Oh, it's massive. Austin's article notes a huge divergence in service levels right now. Lenders piloting CDR-based verification are seeing a 24 to 48-hour reduction in initial assessment times for clean files.
That is insane. We are talking about shedding 2 full days simply by changing the data feed.
Yeah. And the early adopters pushing this visibly are Macquarie, ING, and ANZ, while CBA and Westpac are aggressively piloting it internally.
But speed is just the visible benefit, right? The unseen operational impact is the shift in liability.
Yes, the liability shift is huge. Jennifer Austin's piece features some very pointed commentary from senior ASIC figures over the past 90 days. The regulatory expectation is shifting rapidly.
ASIC is basically signaling that if a lender relies on a documents-only verification process when a secure API verification was readily available, they will struggle to defend themselves if that file turns out to be fraudulent.
Exactly. And that liability inevitably rolls downhill. If a lender is penalized for ignoring a secure API in favor of a PDF, they will aggressively audit the brokers submitting those PDFs.
Because under best interests duty, or BID, the broker is the gateway.
Right. Submitting a file using easily manipulated paper when a cryptographically secure feed was available exposes the broker to massive compliance risk.
But on the flip side, the operational margin for brokers who lean into this is pretty profound.
Completely. Consider a solo broker managing 40 settlements a year. The administrative drag of chasing clients for updated payslips or realizing a bank statement is missing page 7 of 12.
Oh, the worst.
Right. And then halting the application. It consumes a staggering amount of time. Eliminating that friction saves a measurable number of hours per file.
Which translates directly into the operational capacity to handle, say, their next 20 settlements without even increasing headcount.
Exactly.
Okay, but I have to push back on this utopian view of efficiency for a moment.
Sure, go for it.
Faster turnarounds and reduced administration sound fantastic. But doesn't this entirely strip away the broker's core superpower?
How do you mean?
Well, traditionally, a top-tier broker takes a complex client, curates their financial narrative, maybe delays submission by a month to ensure a cleaner payslip cycle, and presents that client to the credit assessor in the best possible light.
Right, the curation aspect.
Yeah. If the raw, unfiltered API code streams straight from the borrower's bank to the lender's algorithm, aren't brokers essentially bypassed? They risk becoming passive conduits rather than active advisors.
It's a fair point, and it's actually the most common existential fear in the industry right now.
Mm.
But the analysis argues the broker's leverage doesn't disappear, it relocates.
Relocates where?
Well, optimizing a pile of PDFs was always an administrative task, masquerading as strategy.
Mm.
In the consented data era, the modern broker's leverage moves heavily upstream and downstream.
Upstream meaning before the application.
Yeah, the value shifts to structuring the conversation long before the API consent is triggered. The broker must strategize with the client on how their transaction behavior will map to the lender's algorithm.
Ah, okay. So the advisory piece happens before the data pipe is ever opened. And downstream, I imagine the leverage is purely in lender selection. Like, you need to know which bank's algorithm interprets the raw API data most favorably for your specific client's profile.
Spot on. Knowing which lender has an API mature process that will auto-approve a clean file in 24 hours versus a lender who still requires manual overlays is a highly specialized skill. The broker's value proposition evolves from document collection to algorithmic navigation.
But algorithms expect clean, predictable data arrays, and reality is rarely clean. So let's stress test this API schema.
Let's do it.
Imagine a client who runs a successful multi-layered family trust, derives a portion of their wealth from foreign investment income, and happens to be exceptionally paranoid about data privacy. This shiny new API system basically hits a brick wall with that profile, doesn't it?
It absolutely shatters against that profile. And the author is explicit about the blind spots inherent in this rollout. Complex business income, intricate trust structures, and foreign income do not map cleanly to the current CDR data feeds.
Because the API schemas are designed for standardized PAYG employees and straightforward residential scenarios.
Exactly. And then, like you mentioned, there's the psychological friction.
Yeah, the privacy paranoia.
Right. A significant percentage of clients will outright refuse to hand over a live data feed to their bank server. The idea of an algorithm scanning their daily Uber Eats habits or their discretionary spending feels incredibly invasive compared to handing over a static PDF.
Right. So they will simply decline the CDR consent.
And when a client declines, the compliance trap snaps shut.
Okay, unpack that.
This brings us back to the best interest duty, the BID file note. Navigating this dual workflow APIs for the standard files, PDFs for the outliers, requires a completely different operational muscle. If an application proceeds via the traditional document path, the broker cannot simply note that PDFs were used.
Right. The BID file note has to meticulously document the refusal. It must detail that the API option was offered, explain the specific privacy concerns or structural complexities the client raised, and justify why the traditional PDF route remained in the client's best interest.
Even despite the slower turnaround and heightened scrutiny, an ASIC is already flagging this exact scenario as a forthcoming documentation focus.
So the hallmark of a sophisticated operator won't be an exclusive reliance on APIs.
No, not at all. It will be the agility to fluidly run both workflows, knowing exactly when to trigger the digital handshake and when to meticulously document a manual submission.
Which brings us to survival. The source outlines a strict 90-day playbook for brokers to adapt to this 12 to 18-month operational overhaul.
And this is crucial.
It is.
Yeah.
This is essentially like training for a marathon that's a year away. If you wait until 2027 to start building your cardiovascular base, you're going to pull a hamstring right at the starting line.
That's a great analogy.
The muscle memory for these new workflows has to be developed today. So what is the first step in that 90-day playbook?
Step one is auditing your aggregator's CDR readiness. Brokers must proactively interrogate their aggregator's BDM about their specific API rollout schedule.
Because some are already moving, right? Like AFG, Connective, and Plan already have public roadmaps detailing their integration timelines.
Exactly. If a broker's platform cannot provide a clear technical answer on when seamless CDR integration is deploying, that platform is a liability.
Okay, so that's the tech side. Step two focuses on overcoming that borrower friction we just discussed by developing a 60-second client-facing script.
Right. Because borrowers are conditioned to expect a checklist of documents. When you suddenly ask them to authenticate a direct data link to their bank, the immediate reaction is suspicion.
Naturally. So the script has to dismantle that suspicion instantly.
It does. It must confidently articulate four pillars. The connection is bank-level secure. It is strictly read-only so the lender cannot move funds. It takes 90 seconds to execute. And it is the key to unlocking a radically faster loan approval.
And imagine delivery is everything here.
Oh, completely. If a broker fumbles this explanation, the client defaults to panic. But delivered with authority, it transforms a moment of friction into a demonstration of cutting-edge professionalism.
Which leads right into step three. Rebuilding the fact find entirely.
Yes. It makes zero sense to ask a client to manually write down 3 years of address history, their exact employer details, and an itemized breakdown of their living expenses when the API will pull all of that perfectly from the ATO and their bank.
So the modern fact find must shrink that redundant data collection.
Exactly. And expand heavily into what the API cannot capture.
Which is what? Human intent.
Exactly. The API doesn't know the borrower's 5-year wealth creation goals. It cannot see physical gold, overseas property, or unlisted assets sitting outside the CDR reporting institutions.
So the new fact find focuses purely on strategy, structuring, and intent.
It's a complete positioning play. Brokers who master these three steps now position themselves as high-value strategic advisors.
While those who ignore the playbook will be exposed as holdovers from a friction-heavy era, they'll just be the brokers constantly apologizing to clients because their PDF-heavy files keep getting kicked back by credit assessors demanding API verification.
Yeah, and the transition from physical proof to cryptographic truth is irreversible at this point.
Because AI has just made paper documents an unacceptable risk for the entire financial system.
Exactly. CDR and ATO APIs are the new standard, and the window to pivot your workflow, update your compliance frameworks, and master your client conversations is closing rapidly.
So, to summarize for everyone listening, we are basically hurtling toward a reality where all financial truth, like every dollar earned, spent, and taxed, is verified instantly and seamlessly via an API.
That's the reality of 2026 and beyond.
But, you know, this frictionless transparency raises a massive question for the future of the industry, which brings me to a final thought for you to ponder.
It's a big one.
If we reach a point where the data flows perfectly from the consumer's bank to the lender's algorithm, what stops the banks from bypassing the third-party channel entirely?
Right, the ultimate disintermediation.
Exactly. Just imagine an ecosystem where an algorithm analyzes your live banking data and pings your smartphone with a customized, instantly pre-approved mortgage offer the moment you walk into an open house.
Before you even consider calling a broker.
Exactly. As the consented data era matures, the ultimate challenge for the human advisor will be ensuring their strategic counsel remains tangibly more valuable than the algorithmic convenience of a one-click loan.
It's a fascinating challenge ahead.
It really is. Keep questioning, keep learning, and thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The wax seal is broken, and it's time to adapt.